Brandon Huffman of Scout.com, who you check out quite a bit at BroncoCountry.com, is here to join us to talk about Boise State recruiting. But first, tell us a little bit about Avery, your daughter. We've all followed Brandon. It looks like she's doing better. Our best wishes there. How are you?
Doing good, yeah. She's doing a lot better. Had some shrinkage in the tumor that she was diagnosed with in June, and she's going to school every day, all day. And yesterday, Doug Baldwin, the Seahawks receiver, came to her school and spent some time talking to her, and her whole class, or in fact her whole school, was chanting in the gym, Avery, Avery. So
wow. That
obviously was a big deal for her. And my older son, who's a fourth grader at the school, was there. He said it was just awesome. And so, you know, the support we've gotten from so many people has been remarkable, and she's fighting every day.
Wow, great. That's good to hear. I'm happy to hear it, and appreciate the updates, and we keep track of them on the KTAK 931 FM Twitter feed. You can also see it there. Brandon, let's talk about Boise State in general first, and the climate around the West with recruiting, with all these impending coaching changes that have to be coming up, although right now, other than USC, the West is fairly insulated. I know this can all change here rapidly and quickly, but your assessment first off on just the temperature in the West in recruiting and the schools that Boise State competes with and how they're sitting in this sort of matchup?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of the coaching changes, I mean, yeah, USC is the only one that really looks like it could open, but we saw the domino effect of 2 years ago, and, of course, that affected Boise State directly. Of when USC made a coaching hire, it affected Washington and then in turn affected Boise State. So there's still those dominoes that could fall. Plus, you're also looking at what could happen with Cal. You know, Sonny Dykes, there's been talk that he may want to get out of Berkeley because the academic standards are a little too tough. It could be Arizona, where Rich Rodriguez is being rumored to be the Virginia Tech head coach next. So there could be a couple other schools that, even independent of USC, those could be domino effects that either Boise State could capitalize on, or it could hurt Boise State depending on what kind of hire there. I mean, remember, Jalen Green was committed to Boise State for, what, 8-9 months. Now he's a receiver at USC because of the domino effect really affecting him. And so that's what you got to see. There's certain things that could happen in the coaching changes that could directly affect Boise State, both in a positive way for guys that they could get that may have been committed to other schools, or guys they could lose when a new coach comes into the other schools.
Brandon Huffman is joining us. You can see his work at BroncoCountry.com. Brandon, the Boise State football team in recruiting has a massive need at defensive line, all kinds of kids graduating, I think 7 total. And in looking at their list and knowing a little bit about what goes on in the West, it's not as difficult, I feel, to find defensive end-type players. It's finding the defensive tackles and the lack of them and how high in demand they are. Talk to me about any defensive tackle prospects that you think they're in on, or are they going to have to go to Florida or Texas or, who knows, Arkansas, wherever they can find them?
Well, they've already got 2 commitments. I mean, depending on what side of the ball Ezra Cleveland ends up playing when he gets to Boise, you know, he could play on the defensive line, he could be on the offensive line, but that could be a possibility. Obviously, Chase Tatata, they've had him on board. He's as solid as they come, a top 50 defensive tackle nationally. But a guy that I think that they're still doing very, very well with, and that, you know, he could end up coming in and not only gives you a defensive tackle, but it keeps the pipeline open at a powerhouse school, or at least gets the pipeline started, is Emmanuel Facili from Long Beach Poly, a 6'2", 310-pound defensive tackle from Long Beach Poly. He visited, I believe, the opening game of the season for Washington, along with his teammate DeAndre Pierce, who's the son of former New York Giant Antonio Pierce, who's now the head coach at Long Beach Poly. So there's a chance Boise State could get both Facili and DeAndre Pierce, and you're adding 2 players from a good program in Pauley. You're getting a need filled in that you're getting a good corner in Pierce and a big-time potential defensive tackle prospect in Facili while building a pipeline at one of the most prominent schools in the country in Long Beach Pauley. So Facili's a guy to keep an eye on because not just does he upgrade your defensive line unit, he gives you some potential inroads at a school that you want to be able to have inroads at.
And it looks like, from your reporting, Brandon, Facili is really a Mountain West prospect. Vegas, Utah State, Fresno, San Jose, and Boise State, they win a lot of those battles at Boise State.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be the guy that when it gets down into late December, early January, when maybe some schools start striking out on their targets because, as you mentioned, There's not the fertile grounds for defensive tackle on the West Coast. Now you might see some Pac-12 schools starting to come after him because they need defensive tackles too. But this is where Boise State's history over the last 10, 15 years really helps them, because even when it's been maybe the second-tier Pac-12 schools, and there's been some first-tier Pac-12 schools that Boise State's beaten, but those second-tier ones, Boise State has consistently beaten those schools. And again, I think what helps with Vasili is his relationship with DeAndre Pierce, who's very, very much leaning towards Boise State. That's the kind of get some guy or the potential that you can bring those two in, but that's the kind of guy you need to get, a guy who the Pac-12 schools do end up wanting, but you built that relationship with early in the process. So by the time those other schools try to come in and say, hey, do you want to play in the Pac-12? They're trying to make up a year's worth of relationship in 3 weeks, where Boise State's had that consistent relationship and priority, making him that priority. And that's what usually wins those battles for Boise State.
Brandon Huffins, our guest from BroncoCountry.com, talking Boise State football recruiting, joining us here on Sports Radio, The Ticket, during the Twin Peaks College Football Hour. Jeff Kays with Mike Prater. So, Brandon, going back to the commitments that they've got verbals, they haven't had one. They got a kicker on the 8th. They also got a defensive end back on the 1st, Darion Shaw, and he was from Nevada, the kid out of Vegas, and that's been it. So did we not have a big recruiting weekend against New Mexico, and then should have another one here against Air Force, and that's it, right?
Well, there was a couple of guys that visited last weekend. Now, the guys that visited, you know, one of them, Javon Bradford, has already committed to Oregon State, and I think there's going to be some other schools that are trying to get him to take an official visit, Washington State being one of them. So that's the other thing. You're getting kind of that time of year. You know, Melky Stovall, he still has a couple of visits to take too. Troy Cassidy, he's got some visits to take. So you've kind of got, you know, with a guy like Bradford or Dee Anderson, both those guys are committed to other schools. They may not be ready to make a change just yet. They also may be just beginning their official visit process. When they commit to schools, a lot of times it's kind of in the middle of their season where they start to get more attention and start to think, hey, maybe I want to take some official visits. So they're not likely to switch just yet unless they know that's the school they're going to. And then in the case of a guy like Melky Stovall or Troy Cassidy, they still have visits left. With a guy like Melky Stovall, he's playing in the Army Bowl, so he's already decommitted once from USC. Wow. I can see a scenario where he wants to wait to announce his final choice at the Army Bowl. So you're kind of hitting that time of year now where guys are wanting to take their official visit. So you may not see a big surplus of commitments happening now, but you may start to see it happen in mid-December with guys that want to enroll early. But you're more likely to see the commitments start happening in January and February after guys start finishing up their official trips.
Where's this Stovall kid from? What's his name again?
Melky Stovall, he's a top-10 athlete out west. He's a four-star kid. He was committed to USC very early in the process and actually decommitted towards the end of the summer. It was kind of a surprise that he decommitted because he had been saying for almost a year that if USC offered, he'd commit. That was his childhood dream school, a Southern California native, and ends up committing it, but then not sticking with the commitment. And I think that's kind of that situation where, you know, even if a new coach comes in, he's kind of already made his mind up. Comes from the same high school that Darian Thompson played in Lancaster at Paraclete. But he's one of the more remarkable, you know, he's not the biggest kid. He's probably about 5'8", 5'9", but shifty as heck. He was in the opening finals this year, was one of the top 150 players selected. He's headed to the Army Bowl, but the kind of guy that you just get the ball in his hands and you watch him do work because he's an electric little player. He can play running back. He can play slot. He can even play some corner, but he's just a guy you get on in the field and then you decide where he's playing, where you have that need earliest.
Well, from your reporting, it looks like Cal is moving in on him in Arizona. Arizona could have a coaching flip, if you will. You think Boise State's in decent shape on him?
Oh, absolutely. When you have a guy like Darian Thompson who calls the same high school as his alma mater, that's going to help because while Boise State, you know, he visited Notre Dame as well. Utah's also had him in for an official visit. There's a history between Paraclete and Boise State with Darian Thompson. So that's where when I mentioned earlier about DeAndre Pierce and Emmanuel Fasili, when you start to build pipelines with certain schools or you start to have a history of getting players from a certain region, that helps you moving forward because then you have kind of a point of reference for these guys to say, hey, this guy came from your school. Now, granted, Darian Thompson didn't have a lot of offers coming out, but now look at where his career's gone. They could turn around and sell that to Melky Stovall and say, hey, the last guy we got out of Paraclete ended up having a pretty good career, and that's kind of that tangible proof that you don't need to necessarily go to a Notre Dame or to a Cal to flourish, and you have kind of a guy that you maybe have been watching the last 5-6 years because he came from your high school. So I think Boise State definitely has a chance. Now, having said that, I do think Notre Dame has also made a big impact on him being from a Catholic school, but for Boise State to get an official visit from him last week, that's huge when you consider who they're going up against and where he was committed to in the first place.
Brandon Huffman joining us on Sports Radio The Ticket during the Twin Peaks College Football Hour. I want to switch gears a second and get some ear-to-the-ground information on the University of Idaho faces a real crossroads with their program, Brandon. They, for all intents and purposes, the athletic director is talking publicly about possibly going back to FCS football. They got a commitment from a kid, a corner from Chaparral High School. I assume that's in Arizona, back on the 15th, which was just this last weekend. What do we know is being said or not said to recruits about their future and where they may be competing?
Yeah, he's actually from the Chaparral High School in Southern California, down there, way down there in Temecula. Lloyd Hightower is the kid's name. Plays for the same 7-on-7 team, the team Ground Zero, who the head, the coach of Ground Zero, son Armon Hopkins, is a corner at Idaho. But I think in that case, they're probably just kind of leaving that stuff unmentioned. There's, you know, certain things you tell kids when you're recruiting them. There's certain things you kind of leave for them to just do the research on their own. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think that's going to be something that a lot of kids are researching. Oh, is Idaho dropping down a division? So that usually is not brought up. But I think that, you know, they're trying to obviously, you know, sell, hey, we're building something. You know, that's what happens when you've had a lack of success with the coaching change in a couple of years. You just keep selling, hey, we're building for the future. We're building for the future.
Sure.
And try to get kids to buy into that.
Yeah. Well, then who knows what will happen. They can always go back to them and they may still want to go or however that works out. Best of luck to you and Avery. Thanks for joining us, Brandon.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.